فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إياكم ومحقرات الذنوب فإنهن يجتمعن على الرجل حتى يهلكنه، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Respected elders, brothers in Islam, listeners of Radio Islam International, I'd like to begin by recollecting an incident that occurred in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A verse was revealed describing the qualities of the true servants of Allah. What did this verse state? How did this verse describe the servants of Allah? It stated, إِنَّمَا يُطْعِمُكُمْ لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that my servants are those who feed the poor despite having the love for the wealth that they are departing with. They need of that wealth, yet they spend it on the orphan, on the poor person, and on the prisoner. This is indeed a great sacrifice. One thing is to discharge in charity your excess wealth, or you have abundance of wealth. But when you yourself is in need, and then to give to the poor, that is a great sacrifice. Considering the gravity of the injunction in this verse, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu responded to this verse in different ways. So some of them understood this verse to mean, لَا يُؤْجَرُونَ عَلَى الشَّيْءِ الْقَلِيلِ, that they will not be given reward if they give a small amount in charity. So a beggar would come to the door and knock, فَيَسْتَقِلُّونَ أَن يُؤْتُوهُ الْجَوْزَ وَالْكِسْرَ وَالْتَمَرَ. All they had in the home, and they were poor themselves, they had a piece of date, a piece of bread, some nuts. So instead of giving it to the beggar, they felt that this is too little to give. إِنَّمَا نُؤْجَرُ, that we will be rewarded when we give that which we love, which we in need of. We need to make a big sacrifice, and only then we will be rewarded. So they abstained from giving, and they thought of it to be trivial. This is nothing what we have here. That was one group. Then there was a second group, and they also had a wrong ideology. And their ideology was, أَنَّهُمْ لَا يُلَاوَمُونَ عَلَى ذَنْبِ الْيَسِيرِ. They thought to themselves that we won't be taken to task for small sins. الكذبة والغيبة والنذرة وأشباه ذلك. Things like backbiting, things like casting the galant to the opposite gender, or speaking a lie or so now and then, or things like that. إِنَّمَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ النَّارَ عَلَى الْكَبَائِرِ. Allah has warned us of the fire of Jahannam if we perpetrate big sins only. So these small ones are fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Verses were revealed upon this. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Whoever does any good equivalent to an iota, that person will see the results. Whoever does any evil equal to an atom, that person will definitely see the consequences. There's no such thing as a small deed. There's no such thing as a minor sin, or this is something small, or this is something meager, I don't have to worry about doing it. We do not know how Allah will judge that action. And that is what I'd like to talk about today. A small act of kindness, or a small act, can make a big difference. A small act can make a big difference. And this is simply because we do not know how Allah will judge our actions. And in this regard, I'd like to present to you four actions or four qualities that we need to adopt so that we can add value to our actions. First and foremost is, we need to at all times keep a clean heart. Allah knows what is in our hearts. We harbor malice, jealousy, envy, hatred in our hearts. And we continue to allow these feelings to linger and to fester in our heart without making any effort to clean it out and to purify our hearts for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Rajab Hanbali rahimahumullah says that jealousy is intrinsic to the human heart, especially in with regard to those aspects which you have an interest in. So if you have an interest in attaining wealth and you see someone else excelling you and going beyond you, it's natural to have jealousy. That is how Allah has created the heart. It will come. Now, how do you respond to that? That is the two examples in the two ways he speaks about. And he says, the first is that sometimes a person will feel jealousy in his heart to someone else. And as a result of that jealousy, you will act upon it. You will do something or you will say something physical, or you'll do something, will act out. And that is exactly what happened to Qabil. He was jealous of his brother Habil. And he was the first of the human to become jealous. And what did he do as a result of the jealousy? He killed his own brother. So that is one of the worst cases of jealousy. Then the other instance of jealousy is where you have the jealousy in your heart that why him? Why is he doing so well? Why is his business flourishing? Why is his children so successful? You have the jealousy in your heart and you want it to be taken away from him. Whether it comes to you or it doesn't come to you, you're not worried about that. It must just be taken away from that person. And you do nothing about it, but you want it to be taken away from him. This is even worse. And this was the jealousy of Shaitan. Shaitan was jealous of Adam alayhi salam. He didn't do anything. He didn't want that same honor to come to him. But he could not bear the fact that that Adam alayhi salam was being honored in this way. So these are the two types of jealousy. Then what happens if you didn't want it to be taken away? Just say, for instance, someone has some good qualities and you don't have a problem with that person having it, but you wish you also have it. So then if it's in the matter of deen, then that is something great. Nabi Sassam said that there's no jealousy except for a person who has the Quran in his heart and he stands in the early hours of the morning reciting the Quran, or someone who gives charity with his wealth. So that is, if it's a deen thing, then it's admirable. If it's a worldly thing, then there's no benefit in desiring it because it's not going to benefit you in any way. So these are the things that continue to bog down our heart, to pollute our hearts, and we need to work towards cleansing our hearts from these qualities. On one occasion, Anas radiallahu anhu says that we were sitting with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a gathering. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sitting, the Sahaba are around him. Suddenly a man comes through the door. His beard is dripping with water, so he's just made wudu, and he has his sandal in his left hand. And before he comes, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يَطْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. A man from the men of Jannah will come now into this gathering. So the Sahaba are looking, all excited. Who's the man of Jannah? They wanted to do those actions that would result in their entry into Jannah. So they're waiting, and here they see this Ansari man coming in. And they look at him, they admire him, and nothing further takes place. The second day, again, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is sitting with his Sahaba. And he again makes the comment and says, يَطْلُوا عَلَيْكُمْ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. A man from the men of Jannah will come to the gathering. And it's the same man that comes in the same condition. The third day, that very man comes in, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says it for the third time. After the gathering terminates, Abdullah bin Amr bin As radiallahu anhu says that, I went up to him. And I said to him, I wanted to get insight. This was the desire for Jannah. He said, I want to get insight, so I went to him And I spoke to him and I said, you know, what had happened is that Nila Haytuma Abi, I had a bit of a dispute with my father and we're not on speaking terms. Will you allow me, or will you host me for a few days so I sort out things with my father? And this Ansari man said, by all means, no problem, come to my house and I will host you. He said, I'd just like to stay for 3 days. Anyway, Abdullah radiallahu anhu goes with the Ansari man to his home. And sleeping time comes and he sleeps close to him. And he's observing everything to see what is it that made this man. Said Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said 3 days in a row, he's from the people of Jannah. So he observes his actions. He sees that when he sleeps at night, every time, إِذَا تَعَيَّرَ أَوْ تَقَلَّبَ, when he moves from side to side, he makes the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he's waiting, maybe this man wakes up through half the night and he makes tahajjud the entire night. What is it? So he continues to wait and see. And he sees he sleeps right through close to fajr time, and then he wakes up and he performs his fajr and he continues with his daily chores. First day, second day, third day. And Abdullah radiallahu anhu says that وَكِدْتُ أَنْ أَحْتَقِرَ عَمَلَهُ, I was almost trivializing his action, that there's nothing here, there's nothing more to this. He's not doing anything. And he says eventually, on the third day, I came to him and I said, look, I didn't have any fight with my father or anything. The reason why I came to stay with you was that I heard Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say for 3 consecutive days that you are a person from the people of Jannah. And I wanted to gain insight. I also desire Jannah. I want to gain insight that what is the qualities that you possess that has made you a Jannati, that I'd also like to possess those qualities. And this person says, well, you spent 3 days with me, you've seen, this is it. مَا هُوَ إِلَّا مَا رَأَيْتْ, that what you've seen, that is it. There's nothing more to it. So Abdullah was rather disappointed. Anyway, he was leaving. And as he was leaving, the Sahabi then calls him back and says, that what you've seen, that's all, but one thing I can tell you is that I keep my heart clean from malice or jealousy or hatred from anyone. Every evening I clear my heart, and perhaps that is it. And at that instance, Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, yes, that is the quality. That is the quality that has made you a Jannati. So that is the first point. Small actions, big reward. The first point, keep your heart clean. Keep your heart clean and you'll get abundance of reward for that. In fact, you'll become a Jannati. The second is with regards to the tongue. The tongue is a great bounty of Allah. And how we utilize it is also a great bounty of Allah. Allah says, وَلِسَانًا وَشَفَتَيْنْ وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجِدَيْنَ. That we've granted you numerous bounties, and amongst that, the tongue is one of the bounties that we've given you. But how you use it? With the very tongue you can utter one statement and you'll become a mu'min. And you'll be worthy of Jannah for eternity. And with the very tongue you can say something that could be very detrimental. There were two people from the Banu Israel. Two brothers, friends. They would meet each other regularly. And they would interact. وَكَانَ أَحَدُهُمَا مُجْتَهِدٌ. One would exert himself in worship. The other was مُذْنِبٌ. He was a sinner. The two would always meet and they had a friendship. Whenever they would meet each other, the one who would exert in worship, he would say, Aqsir, would advise his friend and say, you know, what you're doing is wrong. Give it up. Stop sinning. It's time that you reform your life. That we always advise each other. And he would do this all the time. But eventually one day he reached the position where he then said to him that, now you've outdone yourself. You've gone too far. You've really exceeded and passed all limits. Wallahi, la yaghfiru laka Allah. Allah will never forgive you. That's all he said to him. Allah will never forgive you. Anyway, the hadith which is in Abu Dawud then continues and it says, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then explained and said, both of them passed away. And they had to stand before Allah to give accountability. And first, the one who would exert in worship, the so-called pious one, came. And he presented himself before Allah. And the first question Allah asked him, he said that, أَبَعَثْتُ عَلَيْكَ رَقِيبًا. Did I appoint you as my spokesman? Who gave you the right to say that I will never forgive him? On whose behalf are you speaking? And this person is taken and thrown into Jahannam. And the other one who was a sinner but having hope in the mercy of Allah, He is then brought in. Allah says, because of that hope in the mercy that you had, you go to Jannah. You go to Jannah. Subhanallah. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, afterwards he comments, and listen to what his comment is. And this is what we need to reflect on. He says, تَكَلَّمَ تَكَلَّمَ بِكَلِمَةٍ أَوْبَقَتْ دُنْيَاهُ وَآخِرَتَهُ. This man lived a pious life, but he spoke one statement, just one statement, which destroyed his dunya and his akhirat. One statement that destroyed his dunya and his akhirat. That is the tongue. What we say, how we say it. Yes, we will be in different circumstances in this world. Different conditions will come our way. We have to interact with people. There will be fights. There will be argumentation. It is said that the fact that whenever you're arguing or become angry, you resort to vulgarity and dirty language is a sign of your low intellect. That you're unable to express yourself. And it's become a fashion these days to swear and to use all sorts of vulgar words. And we think nothing of it. We think absolutely nothing of it. So we need to control our tongues. And there was this husband and wife that were arguing. And the wife says to the husband, that if I knew you were this poor, if I knew you were this poor, I would never have married you. And the husband was equal to it, and he says, my darling, when I said you're the only thing that I have in this world, I really meant it. There will be argumentation. It will happen in life. Someone will feel I'm right. The other person will say, no, I'm right. There's one side of the story, there's the other side, and then there's the truth. It doesn't matter whether you're right or wrong. What matters is how you conduct yourself at the time of that argument. What do you say? How do you present yourself at that time? Because remember, you can say something today, and everything may seem that you patch it up, but people remember. And one statement that you said now, someone will speak 20, 30 years down the line, say, that one statement that you said still hurts me till today. And therefore the poet says, جَرَاحَاتُ السَّيْفِ لَهَا الْإِلْتِيَامِ وَلَا إِلْتِيَامَ لِمَا جَرَحَ اللِّسَانِ. That wounds of a sword will heal, but the wounds of the tongue will never heal. And that is the second point. Watch what you say. Control your tongue. The third point is, with regards to intention. Intention is very, very important. We cannot stress it enough on it. And the basic hadith, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Every action is according to the intention. It will be judged according to the intention. Now let me share with you some signs of insincerity, that your intention is bad. The fact that you slack in your ibadat when you're in seclusion, that is a sign of insincerity. Another person is by the Ijtima. About a month ago we were there by the old workers' jaw in Cape Town. And suddenly you're in the public and everyone's around. You set your alarm for 2:30. So we were there by the old workers' jaw, and someone's phone is ringing, the alarm is ringing from 2:30. He woke up everyone, but he's sleeping. When you're in public, then you slack. But when you're in public, then you excel. Or you do with greater eagerness, you want to do actions. But now you're in the masjid, and everyone's watching, you make long salahs. But when you're on your own, you make short salahs. Or another sign of insincerity is that those actions which people frown upon, you abstain from it. And one such example is eating with the hands. You may be among the non-Muslims, you may be somewhere in some gathering, and everyone's eating with a knife and fork. Now you don't want to eat with the sunnah because people will frown upon it. Or if a morsel falls down, you don't want to pick it up. One sahabi was amongst the non-believers at that time. They were conquering and interacting with the people, and a morsel fell down, and someone said, leave it, you know, there's other people here, we'll lose status. And he said, أَتْرُكُ سُنَّةَ حَبِيبِي لِهَا أُولَى الْحُمَقَى أَتْرُكُ sunnah habibi li haulai al-humaqa? That should I leave the sunnah of my beloved for these ignoramus people? So if you find it that you're reluctant to do certain actions in public which people will frown upon, and that is part of the sunnah, then that is also a sign of insincerity. And another sign of insincerity is that you do those actions, very eager to do those actions which will attract praise. You know, you'll get the acknowledgement, the accolades for it. So you're very eager to engage in those actions, to give charity. And then, no, we need to get the full marketing value from this. We need to promote our brand. People need to know that this was sponsored by this company or by this individual. If you're very eager to engage in those where you're going to get the praise and the accolades, then that is also a sign of insincerity. So when you're in seclusion, you slack on your deeds. When you're in public, you increase in your deeds. You're scared of doing those things or reluctant, which people will frown upon. And you want to do those things, which when you do it, people will praise you. These are signs of insincerity. And no matter how great action you do, no matter how much you give, but if it's given without sincerity, it comes to naught, of no benefit. The person can give his life. And what's it greater than the life to give? It will be said to that mujahid on the day of Qiyamah. But go to those people who you fought to show them that you're brave. A qari will be said, go to those who you read to impress them. The man who gave charity, go to those people who you gave the charity for their accolades. Go find your reward from them. No matter how great the reward, the action is, but if there's no sincerity in it, it comes to nothing. On the other hand, a small action, but done with the correct intention. There's no limit to the reward. 10-fold, 100-fold, 700-fold, there's no limit. There's no quantifying the reward a person can attain. From a small action done with sincerity, it is said that Dawood alayhi salam, when he's seen the scales, and the pan of the scales, that is to weigh the good deeds, he was astounded and he said, Ya Allah, this pan is so big. How will mankind fill it? All the deeds will be a mere speck on it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that O Dawood, that one date that is given with sincerity will fill the scale. That one date that is given with sincerity will fill the scale. So that is what we're talking about. The sincerity of the heart, a small action, yet the reward is so big, because it's done with sincerity. And the fourth point that I'd like to speak about, in terms of small actions that can bring us great reward, is showing kind gestures to others. Not holding back, whether it is financially, or whether it is with your physical strength, or assisting anyone in any way. There was this Sahabi who lost his life in a battle. And when his body was brought, he had a stone tied to his stomach because of hunger. And when his mother seen, his mother was very happy that she said to him, Hajarta ma Rasulillah, looking at the body and speaking to the martyred Sahabi, that you made hijrah with the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You then went out and fought alongside him, and now you have martyrdom. Hani'an lak usfurum min asafiril jinan. That you are fortunate, birds from the birds of the gardens of paradise. And the mother was pleased. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was there and said, Wa ma yudrik, don't be hasty in lauding the praises. Don't jump the gun. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, La'allahu takallama bima la ya'nihi, aw yamna'a ma la yadhurru. Perhaps he may have said something which was of no benefit to him. Or he held back that which if he had to give it would not have harmed him. And that is what can hold him back in the Akhirah, even though he attained martyrdom. Even though he has attained martyrdom, yet if it is that he perpetrated any of this, we do not know what his condition will be like. And as we move towards the conclusion, I'd like to share with you an interesting incident that Mufti Taqi Uthmani Damat Barakatuh has mentioned in one of his lectures. He said that In the past, there was a scholar of hadith, a muhaddith, who spent his time writing books on hadith and recording the books. And he passed away, and someone seen him in a dream. And they asked him that, our great scholar, our imam, how did you fare in the akhirah? So he says, Allah has forgiven me on account of one action. So the person asked, what is the action? He says, you'll be surprised and astounded. And then the imam and the scholar and the muhaddith, he goes on to narrate, and he says, in my life, I spent my own life with regards to knowledge of deen, recording it, writing it, giving lectures, teaching people, and this is the greatest activity that I had undertaken for myself. And there's a tradition to the extent that says, وَمِدَادَ مَا تَجْرِي بِهِ الْأَقْلَامُ أَذْكَى وَأَفْضَلُ مِنْ دَمِ الشُّهَدَاءِ. That the ink of the scholars are better, is better than the blood of the martyrs. So you can imagine. So he says, this is what I dedicated my life to. To the service of the ahadith, recording it and writing it and doing that. But when I came before Allah, Allah said there was one action of yours that was most beloved to me, and on account of that, I'm forgiving you. So Allah then explained that whilst you were once writing the hadith and recording it, and you needed to sharpen your pen and you stopped, and that interim, a fly came and sat on your ink pod and started drinking from the ink. And you were about to start writing again, and you had moved your pen, and then you held back and you said, this is also a creation of Allah. This is also a creation of Allah. And perhaps the fly is thirsty. What harm will it do to me if I allow the fly to have a few sips of the ink? So you let the fly drink, and then you continued writing. It is on account of that one action that I'm forgiving you. It's on account of that action that I'm forgiving you. So we don't know, and that is my main message today. We don't know what action will Allah judge us on. We can live an entirely righteous life, but there's one action that we do at some time, one statement, one action that we carry out at any instance, and that may be the one that Allah holds us back for. On the other hand, we may live an entirely wretched life, where we're indifferent to the deen, or someone lives a life like that, but there's one good deed that a person does on some random occasion that becomes beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as a result of that deed, this person is given forgiveness. So we cannot judge others. We don't know how Allah will treat them. We don't know ourselves how we will be treated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we can never trivialize any good deed. No deed is such that it's a small deed. That this is too small, don't worry, just focus on the big things. Perhaps we've read in the books, you know, when the fazail and the virtues are read, this is the great reward. So we think of certain actions to be big, and that we'll get great reward for that, and other actions to be small, and perhaps we can overlook that. Yet that is the criteria that we see before us. But what we consider as big and as monumental, well, Allah also considers it in that way. It is Allah's sole prerogative to judge as He wants. So that leaves us in a very precarious situation. And that leaves us in the constant balance between hope and fear. The verse of the noble Quran from Surah Rahman, which speaks about the two oceans meeting. Maraj al-Bahraini yaltaqiyan. Allah says that the two oceans come together. And very famously, the scholars say it is the salt water and the sea water that does not mix. And that is the outer translation. However, the ulama of tasawwuf, they say no. What is referred to this is the two oceans in the heart of a believer. The ocean of raja, hope that Allah will forgive me. And the ocean of the fear that I don't know. What is it that I did? Will I be taken to task on? And the mu'min is always in the balance between the two. On the one hand, he's continuously optimistic. And on the other hand, he fears for the worst. And that is how he passes his life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا آتَوْا وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَةٌ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. Who are the believers? Aisha radiyallahu anha asked, O Nabi of Allah, who is being described in this verse where they have fear of Allah? Is it the people who made zina? Is it the people who stole? And he says, no, it's not them. It's the person who performed his salah, who observed his fast, who fulfilled the hajj, and after doing everything, still fears that it will not be accepted from me. Still fears that it will not be accepted from me. So as believers, we need to remember that we should never allow any opportunity of goodness to pass us by and never trivialize any sin. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to remain steadfast. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqi Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الحمد لله الحمد لله الواحد المتوحد بالوحدانية هو الله الفرد المتفرد بالفردانية هو الله العزيز العزة بالعزة هو الله القدير المقتدر بالقدرة هو الله الخالق لجميع المخلوقات هو الله الرازق لجميع المرزوقات هو الله الحكيم بالحكمة هو الله الأول هو الله والآخر هو الله والظاهر هو الله والباطن هو الله قبل كل شيء هو الله وبعد كل شيء هو الله قوت قلوب العارفين لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله وحياة أرواح المحبين بذكر لا إله إلا الله ولو كانت الجنة نصيب العاشقين بدون جمال فوا ويلاه ولو كانت النار نصيب المشتاقين مع وصاله فوا شوقا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم يعلم أن سفركم طويل طويل وأمركم قصير قصير وزادكم قليل قليل وذنبكم كثير كثير وربكم بصير بصير وصراط دقيق دقيق والنار حريق حريق والقيامة قريب قريب مسكين ابن آدم أي مسكين ثيابه كفن ومركبه جنازة ومنزله لحد وفراشه تراب ووسادته لبنة وجيران ديدان وجلساء منكر وركير بيته خراب وولده يتيم وماله مقسوم عليه الحساب والعذاب حلال دنيا حساب وحرامها عذاب وشبهتها إتاب لذتها ثانية وطاعتها باقية وحاصلها فوت وآخرها موت أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنك ميت وإنهم ميتون ثم إنكم يوم القيامة عند ربكم تختصمون الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فيا أيها الناس اتقوا الله تعالى في السر والعلن وذروا الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن وحافظوا على الجمع والجماعة ووطنوا أنفسكم على السمع والطاعة واعلموا أن الله أمركم بأمر بدأ فيه بنفسه ثم ثنى بالملائكة قدسه ثم ثلث بالمؤمنين من برية جن وإنسه فقال تبجيلا لقدر حبيبي وتعظيما إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم فصل وسلم وبارك على حب خلقك لديك وأكرم من لديك سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وتابعهم كما تحب وترضى عدد ما تحب وترضى قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر وأصدقهم حياء عثمان وأقضاهم علي ففاطمة سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله اللهم اغفر العباس وولده مغفرة ظاهرة وباطنة لا تغادر ذنبا الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم وسلطان ذل الله في الأرض من أهان سلطان الله في الأرض أهانه الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله هيا على الصلاة هيا على الصلاة هيا على الصلاة هيا على الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين فإذا جاءت الطامة الكبرى يوم يتذكر الإنسان ما سعى وبرزت الجحيم لمن يرى فأما من طغى وآثر الحياة الدنيا فإن الجحيم هي المأوى وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى يسألونك عن الساعة أيان مرساها فيما أنت من ذكراها إلى ربك منتهاها إنما أنت منذر من يخشاها كأنهم يوم يرونها لم يلبثوا إلا عشية أو ضحاها الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. كذب ثمود بطغواها إذ انبعث أشقاها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها فكذبوه فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا أحصي ثناء عليك، أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم صل على محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون، وصل على محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون. اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهله، وصل على محمد كما أنت أهله، وافعل بنا كما أنت أهل، فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة. اللهم ألف بين قلوبنا وأصلح ذات بيننا، واهدنا سبل السلام، ونجنا من الظلمات إلى النور، وبارك لنا في أسمائنا وأبصارنا. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معصيتك، ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك، ومن اليقين ما تهون علينا مصائب الدنيا، ومتعنا بأسمائنا وأبصارنا. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير كله ما سألك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من شر كله ما استعاذك منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين، برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.